I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM. Medicinal marijuana in Utah.
Medical marijuana in Utah? Oh, it's still a mess. Lawmakers hoping they can solve what they broke Monday.
It's messy. It is messy. Because compromise is messy. This is how the sausage is made. And, you know, you don't want to examine it too closely because it kind of gets gross. It's messy, gross, because there's still some tug of war going on right now between the pro and the anti crowd.
It's taken a long time for the sausage to get made, Noriega.
That is
My
true.
My goodness, just make the sausage, cook it up. And get medical marijuana into the hands of the Utahns who need it by the March 1st deadline. So let's take a walk back in time. A few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, medical marijuana bill fails to get out of committee on Capitol Hill. And then the next year it passes the Senate, according to my sources, passes the Senate and then dies in the House. So didn't get out of the gates.
2015's out, yeah. 2016's out.
And then almost a year ago, we all go to the polls. We okay an initiative.
Prop 2.
But then during the session, this last legislative session, lawmakers make changes to it and really mess it up.
Well, you say they mess it up. That's assuming that Prop 2 was flawless. Like, that was perfect? No, I think there were some reasonable changes that needed to be made. And they're trying to. They're trying to figure it out. But it does feel like two steps forward, one step back.
Feels
you're
like,
still going forward. It's just a little
feels like
a little
we're burning
slower.
The sausage right now. Okay, so let's fast forward or backtrack to this summer. We got two county attorneys who say, well, you know what, county employees at the health department, we will not be able to defend you for following a state law and distributing medical marijuana because, federally, it's illegal.
There's a problem with this. There's a federal problem with this. I can't advise my client to knowingly and intentionally violate federal law. Okay? That's a problem.
That's District Attorney Sim Gill. He didn't start it. County Attorney to the North, Troy Rawlings in Davis County, started it. He was on the show live with us saying he just can't defend his county employees if they distribute this stuff.
Yeah, and it's not going to change. This is still a problem. And it feels like everybody's covering their backside, like trying to make sure that, hey, I wasn't for this, but if you guys want to go ahead, then it's on you. Just trying to pass the buck.
We're talking about the timeline, America, the medical marijuana mess here in Utah, and it's all building up to the next segment where we're live on the line with Utah House Speaker Brad Wilson to ask him, are you going to be able to fix this on Monday during the special session? But in the meantime, let's go back to the drawing board. The legislative session for Monday to fix the marijuana mess. What will happen? Well, the state and the county are expected to get out of the distribution business. They're going to create about a dozen privately run dispensaries and add on top of that home delivery, which earlier in this week, Dave and I got into that. We thought, what does that look like? I mean, you know, the doorbell rings and the dog barks and your 16-year-old runs down to get your home delivery of medical marijuana. We heard from Connor Boyack on that issue. He is with Libertas Institute. They're right in the middle of this medical marijuana debate. And here's what he said about home delivery.
We're decreasing the number of access points for patients to obtain their medicine. There was previously going to be 29 health county health departments around the state, and now that's being taken away. So home delivery is a way to say, look, we're going to have probably 12 of these dispensaries around the state, and it's going to be hard for a lot of patients to get in there, get access. And so instead, they can request a service that will bring it to their home, increase the convenience while not at all compromising security and making sure that only that patient is the one accessing the medical cannabis.
Yeah, and the way he described it is there will still be electronic verification. They're going through steps. This isn't your Amazon two-day Prime. Hey, sorry you weren't home. We're dropping it off. Make sure you pick it up.
But when you first hear home delivery, it's kind of what you think.
Yeah, because I get 500 Amazon packages a month.
But they're going to take a lot more steps than that. You got to sign for it. You got to be there to get it. So we were glad to hear about that, the steps that will be included in this new proposal to home deliver medical marijuana to the doors of Utahns who have a prescription for it. We also learned this week on the show that your medical marijuana prescription may not protect you. So in a twist that kind of boggled my mind until Connor Boyack ironed it out for us, you have more protections if you have a prescription, if you're working for a government agency, than you do if you are working for a private company, which I think is something we all need to be aware of.
To be very clear, the current medical cannabis law in Utah does not protect an individual against a company policy that says that they can't use marijuana. We were very intentional about this so as not to impose any type of mandate on private employers to have their own policies. However, if you are a government employee, it's different. If you are a government employee, the government is required to treat medical cannabis the same way they treat prescription drugs.
Which seems like the right call.
Does it?
That seems like the right balance to me. A private company, what they do is up to them. Debbie, I have a question for you. I can almost guarantee you, you do not have an answer to this. I don't have an answer. Gustavo, do you have an answer? This is the question. Do you know what our policy is on medical marijuana?
No clue.
No clue.
In fact, one of our texters on the Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line yesterday texted us, what is KSL's policy on medical marijuana?
We'll call HR. I have no idea.
I'm not a patient. That's not something that I would need to even look into, but they got me thinking about it. And unfortunately, last night I decided to go running instead of looking up our policy.
Well,
but I think it's a great question we all need to be asking.
And I think this is the thing that I think is important. Most people don't know. Most companies don't have a policy. I have no fact to back that up, but I would be surprised if a lot of companies are proactive on this, that already have a medical marijuana policy in place.
Companies that are, for example, banks, federally insured. We've heard from bank tellers who say their bank they work for will not allow them to continue working there if they test positive on a drug test, even if they have a prescription, because federally it's illegal. So they're caught in this kind of odd crossfire of medical marijuana being legal in Utah, but still being a scheduled drug federally.
Well, Debbie, this is the thing we've seen even within law enforcement. According to Connor Boyack, police officers would be able to use medical marijuana.
As long as they're not driving under the influence of it.
Correct. But what about the FBI?
Oh, I don't think they would allow that.
Right? That's what's so interesting is even within law enforcement, your local cops probably could use medical marijuana, but I can't imagine that the FBI agents would be able to.
Certain that if they failed a drug test, that would be a huge problem for anybody who works for the FBI. Here's the other thing. We're hearing from truck drivers who say there's no way their company would allow them to fail a drug test just because they have a prescription for medical marijuana. Why? Because they're driving trucks all over the roads.
Yeah. And even if you're not driving high, it still stays in your system for a few days. So you could be completely and totally sober, but you would fail a drug test.
So my question is this. What do you think? Now, Dave says this is how the sausage is made. I say the medical marijuana mess that we're in is an indication and a failure on the part of lawmakers on Utah's Capitol Hill. Is it just how the sausage is made, or is this just a clear debacle thanks to lawmakers. Team Dave or Team Deb, whose side you on and why? We are taking your phone calls. 801-575-7668.
Dave and Dujanovic. Are you asking for Dave and Debbie everywhere?
Just say, Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
And stream them on your phone. The KSL News Radio app.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Medicinal marijuana in Utah.
We have been asking for your phone calls. Dave says the medicinal marijuana debacle that we've all been watching unfold in the media over the last, let's call it 5 years, is just how the sausage is made.
Settle down, folks. We got the doubters. We got the panickers. I'm not there. I think we're still on the path. It's a little clumsy sometimes, but medical marijuana in Utah is going to get done. By March 1st next year, we're going to have it. People are going to grow it. You're going to be able to buy it.
So he says it's how the sausage is made, and I say it's an indication of a legislature in shambles over this issue. They can't figure it out. Promise they're going to figure it out Monday when they hold a special session. But we want to know in the meantime from you, so call us, 801-575-7668. Are you on Team Dave? Is it just how the sausage is made? Let's give him a break. Or Team Deb? I'm not going to give them a break. 801-575-7668 is the number to call. We're going to get to your phone calls in the next 20 minutes. In the meantime, we've got House Speaker Brad Wilson waiting on the line live to talk to us here about Monday's special session. I want to know, House Speaker Wilson, are you on Team Deb or Team Dave? Good morning.
No answer.
Oh,
hi.
I didn't know I was on with you.
Hey, it's good to hear from you.
I thought that was rhetorical.
Well, no, I'm going to press you for an answer.
Is this a little clumsy? Is this just kind of how it happens, trying to work our way through it? Or are we messing things up? Or better, are you guys messing things up?
Well, Dave, we represent you and Deb. We're all together. But I appreciate the chance to be here, and I'll just say this. If you look back at public policy anywhere in the country and here in Utah, whenever you're doing something that's significant and important, you have learnings along the way, and this is no different. And one of the things about our legislature that I appreciate is we're unapologetic about when we feel like we need to go in and change something or make it better. We're going to do that, and that's what Monday is about.
House Speaker Brad Wilson on the line live with us talking about Monday's special session. We wanted to get a preview of it for our listeners, House Speaker Wilson, because we know this is going to be important to a lot of families who have been waiting for, you know, the sale of medical marijuana. What will you clean up in the law on Monday that will make it better?
Yeah, so... And I do think that it will improve the policy, and we're going to do a number of things, primarily around access and ease of implementation of medical cannabis here in the state. And so one of the big areas that matters a lot so people can get access to this substance is how it's going to be distributed. And so we're going to make some changes to that, and you'll see us, instead of having what's called a central fill being managed through the state, we're going to simplify that process a little bit and increase the number of licenses for private pharmacies around the state instead of having local health departments involved, which I think makes this a simpler process for people.
It looks like we were going to have 29 county dispensaries. Did we not see this coming, that there was going to be a problem being the distributors as the county? And is that what has really facilitated this change?
Well, as is often the case in public policy, we had conflicting opinions at the time, and we thought that it would be worthwhile to kind of pursue the path we were on. But as time progressed, we found that it was going to be better and probably simpler to do it this way instead of using the local departments of health. And so moving forward, what you'll have is you'll have these facilities around the state. I think right now the bill is drafted for Monday, moves the number of pharmacies from 7 to 12. But we're also ensuring that there's a delivery process in place for home delivery for people either that are not close to one of these 12 pharmacies or choose to just have the product delivered. And so we're going to, you know, make sure that that process works really well.
On the line with us live right now is Brad Wilson. He's a Speaker of the House here in the state of Utah on Utah's Capitol Hill. He oversees what happens on Capitol Hill on the House side of the of Capitol Hill. Here's the thing for a lot of families is there has been this deadline set of March 1st when they're going to be able to get their medical marijuana. With all of the delays and the changes in the law, Speaker Wilson, will Utah families be able to get their medical marijuana by March 1st?
You know, I think that's still our hope. A lot of it will depend on these private organizations and how quickly they ramp up and when they choose to open up these pharmacies. So to a lot of to a large extent, this will be dependent upon how the private sector decides to sort of implement this. And there may be some delays. It's a little hard to tell. This is a first for the state, but we're definitely the reason we're coming into special session now is we want to make sure that we're addressing any of these issues that will help us get that done sooner than later and hit that time frame. If it's a month or two later, it's possible, I guess, but time will tell. There's another interesting part of this bill that's happening on Monday, a provision that's in it. We're finding that there are some really well-meaning patients out there that are seeking this this product, and these patients can and in some cases are being punished for using medical cannabis, and we need to make sure that our criminal justice system doesn't punish people for doing something that should be legal. So we're trying to make sure that we've got a level playing field for folks and people are treated fair, they have access to the product, and that the cultivators and those providing the product have really clear ways to engage and manage this process moving forward. And as is the case in most bills we run, we'll continue to learn and make changes if we need to.
Yeah, those protections for users, I think, are extremely important. I am curious, who are these private organizations that will deliver, and what is the process to qualify? Is it a bid process? And it still sounds like, even though you're raising it from 7 to 12, that's still significantly less than what was going to happen on the local department, county health department side of things. That was going to be somewhere around 30. Are you confident that these 12 private organizations are going to be able to really fulfill the need of delivery?
Yeah, let me take your question in two parts, Dave, if that's okay. The first is the delivery mechanism. So what will happen is these 12 pharmacies will actually be the ones to manage and stand up that delivery service from their pharmacy. So they will manage that. It's not going to be government managed. That'll be managed by the pharmacies. And so the consumer will work directly with the pharmacy. They can choose to go there. They can choose to engage the pharmacy and have delivery done, but that'll kind of be a one-stop shop, so to speak. The question about the county health departments, well, we don't actually have a county health department in every county. That sounds kind of counterintuitive, but some of our rural counties,
they're combined.
Share that resource. And really that resource was thought of more for rural Utah. I don't think you would see in Northern Utah a lot of dispensing happening in the prior bill, actually the bill we're under today, but will change on Monday, in urban Utah from county health departments, that it would be more rural. And so what we'll have to see is, will this delivery service be better than having these county health departments do it? And we'll have to watch that pretty closely. But The number of 12 is a number that has been looked at based on ratios in other states, how many pharmacies they needed based on population. But I think that you will see some debate on Monday about this issue. Is 12 enough? And we'll see where the legislature ultimately ends up, and time will tell.
Do we have an idea of anticipated users in Utah?
You know, we do, and I wish I had that on the tip of my tongue. I don't right now, but I think we're starting to get a feel, and maybe that's a good question to ask some of our medical providers that are seeing patients, sort of what their patient volume is. And we have that information. I don't have it with me, Dave. Sorry.
House Speaker Brad Wilson, thank you so much for joining us live on the Dave and Dujanovic Show. And I didn't hear your final answer, Team Deb or Team Dave. We'll ask you when we're up on the Hill covering the special session live on the Dave and Dujanovic Show this coming Monday.
Debbie, it was the best political answer ever. We serve both of you, so I am both Team Dave and Team Deb. That is a politician.
Dave says, hey, this is just how the sausage is made, the big five-year, long, drawn-out debacle to get medical marijuana into the hands of patients who need it. I say, you know, this is smells of a failure on the part of lawmakers. So are you Team Deb or Team Dave, and why? Taking your phone calls, 801-575-7668. Let's hear from you next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Later today, Jeff Kaplan reports on the news.
Big discussion on human trafficking.
And he talks about the news.
The bill doesn't meaningfully address the problem.
3 to 7 on KSL News Radio. Medicinal marijuana in Utah.
Now it's time to get your input. What do you think of lawmakers when it comes to the issue of medical marijuana in Utah? If you haven't yet, we're getting a number of phone calls. You give us a call and weigh in, 801-575-7668. Are you on Team Dave? What?
Team Dave is fine with it. Settle down, folks. We're going to get it done. In fact, this is how things work sometimes. It's not always lickety-split. It's not easy. Have you ever seen the legislature pass a perfect piece of legislation? No.
I could pay off a car loan in 5 years faster than what the Utah legislature has done with medical marijuana, because this whole thing started back just about 5 years ago. Got killed in committee. Then it got killed in the House. And then, oh, yeah, they killed the voter initiative and tried to redo it. Now they got to go back to special session. So we got this call yesterday here on the David Dujanovic Show from a very frustrated listener and frustrated all eyes on Utah's Capitol Hill. He's directing his frustration toward you lawmakers.
The reason we don't have a marijuana program, let's face it, our politicians in this state don't want us to have it. Get something done so this poor lady can get relief. I can't believe the stupidity of our legislature.
And it led me to this question, Dave. What do our listeners think of our lawmakers? Especially when we're in the heart of this situation here that has gotten so much publicity. Sometimes we just ignore what they're doing on Capitol Hill because, quite frankly, it's boring. This has not been boring.
No. No, it has not, but it is interesting that it took a voter initiative. It took Prop 2 to get this done. And a lot of people can be frustrated and hate it and hate that they changed it or tweaked it. But the fact is, I think this sends a message that something had to be done, and it only got done because Prop 2 forced the issue.
I think it sent the message that we wanted something done. And sure, it starts with a small group of people jumping into the initiative process, which is not simple. If you've ever, you know, been stopped on a corner somewhere to sign a petition. I think years ago, I was walking around the campus of Arizona State University trying to get people to sign a recall petition for our governor, Evan Meekum, at the time. And it wasn't always easy. And these were college kids. Usually they stop for anything.
Right.
801-575-7668. We really want to know, what do you think of lawmakers after 5 years of them hashing out the medical marijuana issue?
Total Team Deb. We did not need to have to reinvent the wheel. Everybody around us has already figured this out a long time ago. Why couldn't we just pick and choose what we wanted from the different various places and just leave it at that. We totally bungled this whole thing. Thank you.
Okay, this is my question, and I've never received an answer that has really satisfied me. I think this would have been done 5 years ago. The sticking point has always been the smoking aspect of medical marijuana. If it were delivered in some sort of a pill or drops or some
gummy
other
bear?
Manner, a gummy bear,
you okay
yes,
with that? Okay.
Brownies, I don't know. If it was delivered in a way that was more medicinal or even appeared more medicinal, the problem is anytime you use a drug recreationally, the same way you use it medically, that's where the sticky situation comes. So I want to know from people as well, why does it have to be smoked? Because if it were a pill, Deb, do you think it would have taken 5 years? No way. Absolutely. Okay. 100% no.
Let me go back to the 90s when I covered Capitol Hill here in Utah, and it took years to get a mandatory seatbelt law in place. And you would think the family-friendly state of Utah, it would have happened in minutes. But no, it took years. So I don't ever say, oh, yeah, would have just gone through the Utah legislature. Absolutely not.
Well, I totally disagree.
You haven't covered the legislature.
Sure I have. Was I doing it exclusively like you? No, but I've been doing this for a long time just like you have. I've seen this. And is it easy? No. But I'll tell you this, we sell heroin in prescription form. That's what opioids are. What do you think Vicodin is? It's heroin. But if you were asking people to inject it into their veins or snort it, yeah, there's a problem. So people that are saying, well, we can't do medical marijuana unless we can smoke it. It just doesn't have the same effect. Well, of course it doesn't have the same effect. It's time released. But if you are dealing with chronic pain, then why do you need that instant relief? Why can't you take the 20 minutes or 30 minutes and take a pill? So, yeah, you can be frustrated with the lawmakers, but this could have been taken care of years ago if the delivery system was different.
Totally disagree. Everything up on the hill of this kind of magnitude seems to get mired in red tape. Every single time, like I said, if they can't even passed a mandatory seatbelt law in a state that has probably more kids per capita than the rest of the country, you think that this is just going to sail through the Senate and the House? They had two attempts to get this through, and it failed both times. Once it didn't even get off the ground. It just died in committee. It just blew up in committee. And then the second time, the Senate has the sense of mind to get it passed, but the House decides to kill it. 801-575-7668 is the number to call. Is this kind of make you feel like lawmakers, you know, can't get their act together? Or are you on Team Dave and say, this is just how the sausage is made?
Medical marijuana should be looked at the same way as pain medication is looked at. If you take a pain pill 2 days later, it's still in your system and you'll fail a drug test. There shouldn't be any difference, and I think the government is just making it harder than it needs to be.
Well, and I think that's part of the clarification. That is what it's going to be like, folks. I mean, those are the protections that you enjoy. You will be able to use medical marijuana, but your private company doesn't need to necessarily allow that. They can set their own policy. If you're a truck driver and your company says, you know what, we're still not allowing medical marijuana, any use, or we're not allowing opioid use, even if there's a prescription. Private companies can say that.
State government can't. It's going to be different. So you're going to have to know, if you work for state government, what the policies are. You enjoy more protections with your prescription than you do if you work for a private company.
I think that it's really important for everybody to understand that even in Washington, D.C. right now, which is not a state, but where they make our laws, it is perfectly legal to smoke marijuana, not just medically, but recreationally as well. So how come the people in Washington, D.C., who make our laws, have a legal statute to smoke marijuana within Washington, D.C., or use marijuana medicinally or recreationally, but we can't do it on a federal level? I think the feds just need to drop their case, and the federal government needs to open their eyes and let this all go, and then we don't have the debacle.
I would agree. I 100% agree. I think marijuana being classified as a Schedule I drug on the same level as heroin is ridiculous. I am 100% with you on that. We should have changed this federally years ago. My point is, we're talking about an ineffective legislature, and this is a state rights deal. We can absolutely pass our own laws here, so great. The problem is, like you said, it's in conflict with federal law. So, yeah, it's a sticky situation. Could it have been done earlier? Yeah, absolutely. Should it have been done earlier? Yes. I am for medical marijuana. I have no problem with it. The problem I have is when you're using it medicinally the same way you use it recreationally. That's always been my problem, and I'm convinced, 100% convinced, if it came in a pill form, then it would have been passed years ago.
801-575-7668 is the number to call. We've been talking about Team Dave or Team Deb the last 30 minutes or so, and we've got a number of you weighing in.
Dave and Deb, I think our state legislature has really screwed this up. But at the same time, our federal government needs to get on the ball, reclassify marijuana to a classification it should be, and then we wouldn't have these issues.
Yes. Exactly what I said. I'm with you on this, 100%. That would have solved a lot. My concern with private dispensaries, and the reason I did like the idea of local health departments handling it, is I want to make sure that what is happening with our marijuana does not happen or is not impacted, kind of like vaping is, where people can modify it. They can change it. I want to make sure that what you're getting is the potency you're expecting, the quality you're expecting. I want to make sure that it's exactly what you need. I don't want to roll the dice every time there's a delivery.
That's why Dave is opening up a new medical marijuana testing facility. And he'll be driving around his own delivery van because he figures out that'll be a great side hustle.
A lot of money to be made in drugs.
Oh, I love you, Utah. You give us so much to talk about. Let's talk about this next. A high school cheerleader hazed, and it's all caught on tape. Now the dad accused by the school district of distributing the video of a semi-naked girl says, the school district's got it all wrong. Let's get a live update on this case next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news with Dave and Debbie.
I put your Social Security number on a billboard.
It would change nothing.
News at 5, talk of 9 on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.